Adam, are you going to participate this week?
Yeah, keep me interested, and I will participate.
Okay, well, let's try to get a good open with our guest. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
This week it's not all about us.
Okay.
So why don't you ask Matt a question?
Matt.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Better than that, Adam.
More direct. You want me to narrow the scope there a little bit?
Yeah. Shoot for an interesting answer.
Okay, yeah, but maybe he's got an injury. Tell me about your love life.
Oh, well, Adam, I like long walks on the beach in the early mornings.
You live in Fergus. And welcome to episode 159 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me, as always, is
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
And this week we have a guest new to the show, Matt.
Yes, how are you guys?
Doing good, Matt. Matt, where are you from?
I am from Sudbury, Ontario, but I live in Fergus, Ontario right now, which is a small town north of Guelph.
Everybody's running to their globe right now. Where's Fergus? Now, you told us earlier that Fergus is the home of the Highland Games.
Yes, sir.
And this is that the distinction of Fergus?
No, they also have the truck show.
Truck show and the Highland Games. Okay, I had you down here as from Don Mills, so...
Close.
So close. Is that close?
Not really.
Okay. I just assume Ontario is all just one big... something out east. Anyways, yeah, so that we should say that is from Fergus, Ontario. The end. Okay, drive safe, everybody.
Great. Yes. Good
sorry,
night.
Was there a question there?
No. The question was,
this is
hey,
how we do it.
It'd be awesome. Run with it. So Matt's a listener of the show who has the distinction of, I think, probably being the only one who has completed all of the photo challenges?
As of this show, I will take my last challenge photo during this show.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's dedication.
During the show, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which challenge that would be. Did you save one specifically for the show?
Well, not for the show, but I did save it for last.
Okay.
And that's my self-portrait, number 38.
Gotcha.
Are we going to listen to you take that photo? You're going to do it on your iPhone.
But I have to set up my Yongnuo. I have to turn on my triggers.
Amazon.
Right.
Buy stuff on Amazon. You buy stuff on Amazon.
Oh, everybody buys stuff on Amazon.
There you go. So if you buy it through our site, everybody wins.
Right.
Do I get to cut this up, so?
Yep. You get 159th of it. So, I mean,
11 cents, it's not going to go far.
Well, in Fergus, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Huge. Yeah. Huge.
Yeah, that'll get you a double-double. Yeah. So what's going on, Adam?
Not much, Alan.
Great. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, let's get to our guest because, I mean, really, actually, let me take a step back from that because I do have to say last week's podcast, for me, anyways, I'm not saying that we were, you know, incredibly hilarious or anything we had to discuss was different than usual. But what I will say is the photography discussion, the topic, the window light photo that you discussed and how to make, never really occurred to me in that fashion. And I've done three or four since then, and I love the effect. It's incredibly simple and no need for lights or triggers or any elaborate setup. And you can get amazing photos this way. So I have to say, in terms of usability, that episode, if you're listening to this one and you missed last week's, go back and listen to that because it is very helpful.
I agree. It's
one of that's my, that's me pumping your tires, buddy.
That's you being positive about something. That's strange. I'm wondering if you're not feeling well.
No, I'm feeling very well.
Yes. Okay, yeah, it's a technique I use quite often, actually. In fact, I encourage my kid to play by the window just so I can snap those photos.
And I think, for me, I do really like window light, but I've never kind of used that move to completely turn my back and shoot them head on with a very evenly lit sort of style. I've always used kind of the window light coming in from an angle to create a completely different look. And so this look just never occurred to me. So I like it. Plus the super shallow depth of field portrait isn't one that I've really played around with too much. So I also like that effect.
It's putting the shallow depth of field to good use.
Right.
You know, one of the things that we do all the time at the beginning is when we first get our first 1.8 lens is shoot everything at 1.8 because we want the depth of field to be negative or zero. And it doesn't always work, but this is one of those situations where it works quite well.
Well, there you go. So congratulations. Great. On another winning topic.
Wonderful. Matt.
Yes, sir.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
A lot of challenge photos, that's for sure.
How many did you shoot in a week?
This week in particular, definitely wanted to make sure that I knocked everything out. So I think I had two a day every day. So You do the math, that's 14.
That's at least 14, depending on how many.
At least.
Wow. Now, how many kids do you have? You have 114 kids. Oh, I thought it was more than that.
No, just three.
Just three. That's plenty.
And what are you doing? And what do you do for work there, Matt?
Ooh, I sell water and wastewater treatment equipment.
Okay.
Industrial plants, process. Yeah.
So, and that lends itself to a lifestyle where you
absolutely
can take two photo challenges a day.
I'm gone at least 12 hours a day. So absolutely, you know, it's easy. I come home, play with the kids, and then take photos.
Okay.
Yeah. No. So it's pretty hard to fit these in. But I do my best, you know, knock out a few. I did my neutral density shot at lunch today.
Okay.
So, you know, it kind of a phone-in. There wasn't, it's nothing, there's no water all blurred and awesome. But
who do you think you're talking to? This isn't Don you're talking to.
No, good point by you.
We know. We know the phone-in.
Well, even worse than that, I literally made my neutral density filter.
You made
because I'm cheap, yeah.
Out of sunglasses?
Or welding glass.
Even nice. Nice. Wow.
Yeah.
Now so Al, you're five. Probably...
Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, now, Al, you're probably going to ask or interview Matt with a few more photography-related questions.
No, that was it.
Okay, because I'm trying to find out who Matt is as a photographer, kind of a little bit about your photography background. How long have you been... involved or
that's the
involved.
That's the section for the end of the show.
Okay, so I can't ask any of that now.
He's our topic.
Okay, I shouldn't say anything right now.
Once we get through the minutia of our challenge photos,
okay, then you
shine.
That.
Then you shine. Right, so why don't you go in the back and just stretch out your hammies a little bit and get prepped?
I should do that.
Yeah. Just get ready for this.
All right.
Now I recently got a Stein.
Oh, actually,
that's a liter.
The full the mass. It's called ein mass. Yeah, that is a full liter.
Is this a beer math show?
It's beer math. Yeah. Well, when you go to these like sort of the beer tents, like at Oktoberfest, or they have them in Stuttgart as well, like called something else. I know what it is. I just don't want to bore all of you with the name of it. These giant tents full of people standing on the benches, you know, singing and dancing to the Oompa Oompa music with the accordions and all that, which sounds kind of strange, but it's actually an awful lot of fun. And then you buy the beer in these one liter beers, essentially is what they come in.
Sorry, I think you mentioned this before, but how much is 1 liter of beer?
At one of these events, it's a little more expensive. It's always a source of controversy. Like, oh, what is a mass going to cost this year? And
don't make it complicated, Alan. Yeah, how much is a liter of beer?
1,000 milliliters.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How much does it cost? We're talking, right?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I think I'm going to guess around $7.
That's cheap.
Ish. Yeah, around that. That's what I'm saying. Is it's I have to make it complicated because it's depends when you go. During the festivals, it's usually more. Like I think Oktoberfest is probably $8. They ramp it up and gouge you. But meanwhile, downtown Vancouver, you can get a regular beer is about $8.
Oh yeah, Blue Jays game is 10, right?
Right.
How much at a Yankee game?
No,
don't answer that.
I haven't been in a long time.
That's Bud Light. They're giving it away.
And they in plastic bottles so that when you throw it at the ump, you don't hurt them.
Nice.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there you go. All right. And for the record, I shot nothing interesting this week.
Great.
Busy week. So photo challenge.
What about
this
your new baby, Sam? Right.
Yeah, he's just not that interesting.
Yeah.
He does a lot of sitting there and screaming.
You've already checked off the baby shot. You can wait till he's at least, I don't know, crawling or something.
You know, it's funny you say that because every day I feel guilty. Like, am I shooting enough photos of him doing the same thing as he did yesterday? You know, like if I do compare, like just the keepers, not the photos I took, but the keepers to what I shot with my daughter, it's like 5-1 minimum, probably higher than that. And so now I'm thinking, like just wondering to myself, am I a bad dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worst dad ever.
All right. We'll go to the strippers when he's 12 and
make up for it.
Yeah, it'll be fine. So this week's challenge was last week's episode. Which I don't have a good. I didn't have a good name for it. What's this technique like? Trying to copy that guy, Martin Scholler.
Yeah, you called it a pro photo made simple. So let's just go with that.
Yeah, simple portrait. That's what I'm calling it.
There you go, simple portrait.
So in honor of our guest, why don't we go with Matt's first?
Let's do it.
So Matt.
Wow, self portrait.
Self portrait. I guess when you work that many hours, though, you end up. That's kind of what you have to do.
Yeah, so that's definitely not window light. I am not able to get any window light at night, obviously. But I do think it's an interesting shot, and the reason being is that I shot it entirely myself. So I guess I'll put it back to you guys. What do you think about the focus on the eyes?
Looks okay to me.
Yeah, looks
yeah,
good.
Yeah, because, I mean, As you talked about how narrow that depth of field is, and I set up the camera and shot myself,
mm-hmm.
as you can imagine, it's pretty difficult to get that.
Especially when you're dealing with that narrow a depth of field, it is really difficult to do.
Now, yeah. Now what kind of lens are you using here, and what's the aperture?
50, 1.8.
Okay.
So 50 wide.
50, whatever, $105, right?
Right, the nifty 50, sure.
Sure.
And so, and you shot this, you got, is it a couple flashes going on here?
No flashes at all.
No flashes, okay. You titled the picture Bounce Flash, so that's what confused me.
Did I really?
You did, that's okay, we don't need to get into that.
I apologize if I did that. I think it was pro photo, but what I did was I used my a vanity. So I went to the washroom.
Okay.
You got your vanity lights.
Uh-huh.
Shining back towards my shower, so it's a white background. And then I hung a towel on the shower, the bar that goes across the top.
Mm-hmm.
And on the towel, because I have children, I've got these animals, and they have eyes. So I focused on the eyes of the zebra or giraffe or whatever it was. And then promptly got into the tub, moved it back, and then just looked so to my left and to my right, made sure I was in line with the towel, and snapped the shot.
Great. That's the old replacement technique. I've used that before.
Mm-hmm. I do that all the time. Not with zebras, but...
No, not with zebras. That's a new twist that was just added.
Other stuff, yeah.
Great. No, that's great. That's the funny thing is like, you know, if you look at this picture, you don't imagine the scenario you just painted.
Not at all.
I don't imagine, a dude crouching in his tub next to zebra prints.
You're thinking, it's kind of weird, though.
No,
this photo took on a totally different weird feel.
No, vibe. That's a
really
good...
just because I was in the tub. Is that the awkward
no,
part?
No, you're in the tub with stuffed animals. That's the weird part.
Well, it was a towel. It was a towel, a print. Oh,
right.
There's no stuffed animals.
Yeah.
why does Adam always have to take it to a weird spot?
Well, sorry.
Yeah. That's kind of the fun part about taking these kind of pictures is if you were to back out and see the whole scenario, it paints quite a different picture. So,
okay. So can I ask, what do you guys think of the shot?
I think it's great.
Yeah, Adam? I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I was wondering where the light came from because, you know, I wasn't. It didn't look like window light to me.
No, that was my first thought. It was like there was no way I thought this was window light.
No, which is.
But it's fine. It doesn't have to be window light. It's a very well lit portrait. So mm-hmm. I like the creativity that you employed here to get the shot.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Okay, so let's. Who are we going to next? Adam.
let's do Adams.
Sure.
Okay, so this is Jack.
Yeah.
No, Adam, this is like the ninth one you submitted.
Yeah, like I told you, I really had fun with this this week. I did one of Jack, I did one of Sarah, I did one of my wife. I really liked the one of my wife, mm-hmm. and I submitted it earlier. But then when I saw the other photos, yours, and there's one from a listener's, I hadn't seen Matt's yet. I just thought, okay, they're all done on a white background, which was the same as the one of my wife. And so I thought, okay, even though I like that picture, I wanted to present something different. So I shot one this morning with Jack. And I also thought there was some other points that were interesting to shooting this kind of photo with a child. And I do not recommend it. That's what I have to say. When you're talking about the razor thin like depth of field, good luck getting a 4-year-old or 6-year-old to cooperate to stay still enough that you can, you know, do manual focus on your camera to get the razor sharp eyes and have them not move at all. It's impossible. So I probably took 30 shots as he's moving back and forth and side to side before I finally got, you know, two or three usable shots. So, and then I had to bribe him with a pillow fight. So there's a pending pillow fight based on getting a focus shot here.
And I'm sure he found it hilarious, like your frustration.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. I'm sure. No. He knew that the quicker we finished, the more pillow fighting time there was. So. Yeah, he tried to be cooperative, but again, just they don't realize how still they need to be in order to pull this focus off.
I remember when I was 4, I had depth of field just nailed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understood it completely.
Yeah. So anyway, so I did manage to get one. This one again was pretty tight in the crop, as you can see, because mm-hmm. I was shooting this on an 85 millimeter and I had it framed the way I wanted it, but he kept moving. And then I got a shot where it was framed properly, but I didn't like his expression. And the one that we got here, like as soon as I got that shot, even though the framing isn't exactly what I had in mind, I just loved the photo. So the expression, it's the kind of thing that that I know as soon as I show it to my wife or my parents or anybody that knows Jack, they'll all just smile and love the photo because of the expression.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah,
it's a great shot. It really is. Forget about composition or framing, as you said. I mean, the eyes are just alive. He's just happy, right? This is a fantastic shot, Adam.
Yep, I agree. You know, it was supposed to be 50 millimeters, but, you know, you get
the shot. Yeah, yeah, and the one I did with Lisa was 50, but then, I ended up going with 85 because it was what was on my camera when my son agreed to take this photo.
And plus, generally in this situation, I shoot with the 85 anyways. It was sort of we were trying to emulate two things. One, the original photographer, even though he's shooting with, I don't know what he's shooting with, probably some large format camera. So therefore not an 85, but also trying to sort of replicate what the average listener is going to have. And I don't know how many of our listeners have 85 mil prime lenses.
Right, right. It is a beautiful lens, though. So if you don't have one, buy one on Amazon. You know, the Canon one was whatever. It's not overly expensive. I don't want to say it's about $350, which still, for the quality that you get out of that lens, seems to be a bargain, in my opinion. But the point I wanted to illustrate about it was didn't use the white background. This is just a bunch of cluttered background that just, you know, because we have warm lights in our living room and he's standing in the kitchen, you just get all different kinds of warm tones and nothing else, because on that 85 millimeter at 1.8 and close range, like everything just completely melts away. I mean, his ears melt away, everything melts away. So
yeah,
the warm lighting in the background creates a really kind of neat backdrop. And again, one that I prefer over the white background.
I absolutely prefer it myself. And that's normally what I shoot. If you're trying to shoot a project where you want to do eight to 10 photos of different right. people in the same style, the repeatability is almost impossible.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. Absolutely. I agree there.
And so in that regard, that's why I went with a white background. But no, good job. Okay, good job, so Jack.
Who's next?
Well, that would be me. If we're just doing the math.
Okay.
All right. So here's this one's called Mike, because his name is Mike.
Okay.
That's how I named it.
So you work with this guy then, right?
No, play ball with Mike.
Okay. Because he's in your video series.
He did. He helped out with the four part depth of field series.
Exactly.
Good call.
Where you move your hands like crazy.
That's right. He asked me to. He said, hey, well, if you do this, if I help you, you need to move your hands a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
I would have asked for more money if I was him, but for him.
So, I mean, I don't want to. I think yours is the worst photo out of all of them.
Is it?
I don't know about worst.
Tell us what you really think, Matt.
I agree. It's the worst.
There's no depth of field in the body, I guess. Uh-huh. He's not leaning forward, pushing his head forward, as Dwayne, you know, expressed to you guys before, right? And even Jack's doing that. I don't know if you got Jack to do that, Adam, but...
No, there's no coaching. I just was hoping he would stay still. That's it. It just worked out.
Right. So Mike's, you know, at a straight up plane. So you're not getting any depth of field in his body at all. Where you can see with Jack, he's leaning forward, pushing his forehead forward, and everything else is bleeding out, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, I did shoot mine with a 50 millimeter lens.
Okay.
On a full frame camera, a Canon FTB. This was shot on 35 millimeter film. So that was part of what I wanted to do. As soon as I knew we were shooting this, I thought, okay, I'm going to shoot mine on film. And I shot a bunch of digital backups just in case I lost the film or didn't have a chance to process it in time.
Right. I saw those.
Right. There. Yeah. We can talk about those or not talk about those. Probably not. I'm going to go with not talk about those.
Let's not talk about them. Let's just talk about this photo. Can I say something about this photo?
If you're going to pile on, yes.
Yeah. I was going to say something nice, but now I can't.
Yeah, I go with the pile on. It's funnier.
Okay. What I was going to say is, if I was Mike and I saw this photo, mm-hmm. I would be like, you're not posting that photo. I want my money back on this shoot. That's what I would say if I was.
Really?
Yeah. I think it just isn't a pleasing portrait. That's all I have to say. I think you could take a portrait of this same individual that's much more pleasing. And that's my point.
In this scenario, I would not. This is not your conventional portrait. I would not shoot a pleasing portrait like this with a 50 millimeter lens right in the person's face. Now, the good thing about the 50 millimeter on the crop sensor is that what you're shooting with, Matt? A crop sensor?
Yes, actually, and I'm bringing Nikon to the fold today.
Okay. So you're shooting with a crop sensor with a 50 millimeter lens. It requires you to back off a little bit.
Sure.
And thus you get a much more pleasing, like a much more standard looking portrait image. If you're shooting with the 85 on the 6D, like Adam is, it's the same. It's pretty much the same result.
Right.
You get that.
I have an argument to be made, though, because I shot my original photo of my wife on a 50 millimeter full frame with the white background, and far more pleasing. You can post that photo, too.
Yeah, it's if you look closely, though, there is something, I won't say off, but there is something slightly not tremendously. Did you crop it at all in post?
Tiny bit.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Tiny bit.
You would have had to crop it a little bit. I know. Yeah. I thought of that right away because.
Yeah, but I don't think it's off. What do you think is off about the photo?
It's her features are not representative of how they are in real life. There's a certain.
Neither were yours last week.
Right? No. That's part of the style of the original image. That's what I was trying to emulate. Like I said, I wouldn't in a traditional sense, I wouldn't shoot this. Now, if you look at my shot this week, if you look at the perceived distance from the tip of Mike's nose to his ear, it's like, you know, his face must be 4 feet wide, but it's not.
Right.
That's where you get that distortion. And so there is a slight bit of it, and it's very minor with your wife's photo because it is a good photo. I'm not suggesting otherwise, but it doesn't represent how you see her with your eyes.
True. No.
So that's what I'm saying. So you are multiplying the effect. So in terms of a traditional portrait, no, I wouldn't shoot this. I have a 135 millimeter lens that I would shoot with my full frame. But that was not the exercise. And thus, I happen to like this image for what it is because it's not a traditional thing. I can't compare it to a, you know, digitally shot 85 millimeter photo.
Right.
So there's that.
Okay.
Does that sound defensive or just as a?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's defensive. Yeah. I think we got it. So it's okay. Let's go to the last
one. Great shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go to your buddy Ken. Kay.
You had me all turned around. Yeah. Whew, boy. Thanks for setting us straight, Al. That was
yeah.
All sleep tonight.
All right.
So for what it's worth, Mike likes the photo, so there you go.
Okay. All right.
Okay, and so let's take a quick look at the last one. No,
he can't say, "Oh my god, I'm hideous."
He did not like the other ones. He didn't like his. I took four and and plus he's German, so he'll tell you what they think.
He's not gonna listen to this, is he?
He's absolutely gonna listen to this.
Oh no! Oh, that's why you're being so defensive.
No. Yeah, I'd say next week I'm posting just a complete glamorous beauty shot of the guy.
Adam, just say right now you're gonna give him a free good portrait. You know, next time you're in Germany, right?
I'm gonna fly over to Germany and I'm gonna try to do that one better. I think it's the cropping. Really, it's the cropping that really would I think be better.
You think I should include the forehead?
No, I think I was making reference to the whole cropping issue.
I just caught that now.
I'll recrop it and I'll send you a better version.
Tells you to do that.
Wow. Jeez.
All right, moving on.
Why are you going to be condescending?
Okay, so we're going to look at the photo from your buddy Ken. Is that right?
This is the non-listener who sent in the original request. For us to do this show, but for me to answer that question. And so this is the result he got. Now, he is not a photographer. Any time in the past when I've given him any tips, he basically doesn't listen. He's the guy who, and Matt, you may have experienced this before when you have, you know, friends who ask you a photo question and then they basically say, no, how do I make the background blurry? That's it. It's all I want to do. I don't care about the rest of the image. And that's him. How do I make the background blurry? And then before you can answer, he wanders off. And so I got to tell you, he did a good job here. He paid attention. I wrote him a long email outlining how to do this. And that email became the basis for the show last week. So anyway, this is his result. And so I thought this is window light with just a slide projecting background. What do you call it? Like a movie screen?
Okay.
What do you call this? For PowerPoint, probably?
Yeah.
Something like that. You get the idea. I think that's what they use for a background, and this is the result.
Looks good. Eyes.
I got to tell you, it's actually, out of the four of them, it's my favorite one. I think that he did a better job than I did.
I like mine better. I'm biased, but I clearly like mine better.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to go with... Yeah, I have to go with Adam as well. Her eyes, although I just wish her eyes were looking at the camera. That's all.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Me
too.
I think again, I really like the photo. I really like the hair and the detail in the hair. That's the part that kind of grabs me about that, but not the eyes, other than the eyes not looking. Again, I think it's still a very good photo because it does capture something. Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun photo. Her mouth, her pursed lips, the dimple, it all kind of works, the hair on the one side. But yeah. I think there's a better photo in there.
But it is a good shot. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Especially, I think, especially for a non-photographer.
Well, yeah. But that's the beauty of this, mm-hmm. is that this is not complicated. The only difficult part about this is the focus, is getting focus. Otherwise, anybody can take this shot,
yep.
with pretty much any camera. I mean, I should say any camera that can do a very narrow depth of field, or lens, I guess, that can do a narrow depth of field. You can't do this on your point and shoot, is what I'm getting at.
You're not going to do this on your point and shoot at all, no. Now, what the thing is with this one is they were, I think it was a series of 8 or 10 people, and so repeatability was an issue again, which is why the white background.
Right.
But otherwise, I would prefer the cluttered background in this as well, but other than that, I think good job. So
mm-hmm. That's great shot.
Moving on.
Yeah, you had to say Ken. You wouldn't admit it.
Who?
You wouldn't admit that my photo is the best photo. you're incapable of saying that.
Yours is the greatest, Adam. I mean, everybody else did follow the rules and shoot with a white background or in a 50 mil lens, but yours is good. Yours is good. You had Rembrandt bring a painting in, and yeah, sure, Night Watch is better than this, but that's not part of the rules.
You know, listen, I don't think you said 50 mil exclusive.
No, he didn't.
No, we of course this week he says.
And we also suggested a white or all Dumont on white, but that was not part of the stipulations.
No, it wasn't required. As far as the challenge goes, but as far as the technique we talked about last week, it was 50 right. millimeter slash right. white background.
Right.
So,
is it over yet?
It's all over yet. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Matt has been a listener for, I'm going to say, half a year?
I'd say 9 months.
9 months, okay. And in those 9 months, has gone back and done all of the photo challenges, all 100 and, I think this week is 151. We didn't do them for the first 7 or 8 episodes. Like, when we first started out, we didn't really know what the show was.
Yeah, how many exit vocus did you solve? That's the real question.
Oh, my God, none. That was so brutal.
Was that brutal?
Like, I understand it was good in theory, but it was poor in execution.
That was all Al's idea. That was Al's baby. He actually, if he didn't name his new baby Sam, it was Exif Oku.
Okay, tell you what, on this show, all the ideas are my ideas. Okay. So I will stand behind the good ones.
Let me know when the good ones happen.
The good ideas?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, you like having
Adam,
you.
Having Adam as a
that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, that was comedy gold right there. Yeah, that was one of those ones where, like, buy Apple stock at $3? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So you started on 8.
Was it on episode 8?
156 or 59 now, right?
Yeah.
So, sorry, do you want to ask me more of a question, or do you want me to just go off here?
No, just rattle off a bunch of numbers for us.
Perfect. 52, 86, 72. So, yeah, no, I started listening about 9 months ago, and then about 3 months ago, I think I listened to the episode you did with Don, not to mention him again, but it was setting goals or goal setting. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, I'm going to try and finish all these challenges within the year, which I did not complete.
Oh, the calendar year.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're gonna set. So you found us. So first off, you find us, you know, 9 months ago. How did you find the show?
Just on iTunes. Just searching for photo podcasts.
Oh, okay. Now, first off, before we'll talk a little bit about our show. I don't want this. Is not intended to be an ad for our show.
Right.
Because it's kind of stupid. Because if you're already listening to our show.
People are listening. Yeah.
So you find us on iTunes. Did you listen to that week's show, or how did you start?
Is this going to be a marketing? Like, are you trying to figure out how to market your show?
Yeah, we're doing a great job so far.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. We're on.
I see you tweet once a month.
Yeah, we bought a Super Bowl ad though, so we should be good.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So anyway, so when you listen to you discover the show, do you listen to that week's episode?
Yeah, the first one, and then I decided to go back right after that. And I did email you at that point and say, hey, mm-hmm. listen, I just found your show. I really enjoyed whatever episode. I don't remember. Let's call it 110. Okay. And I said, listen, I'm going to go back and start from the start. And I did that. And throughout, you know, I did keep a conversation going with you by email. Just, you know, every so many episodes, a question would come up. And, I don't know what it was. I remember at one point I asked about Gear and Adam, and you said something along, he doesn't disappoint, just keep listening, right? That's 70 to 200 is coming, but you didn't say that, but you alluded to it.
Okay.
And along I went for the journey, right? So okay,
I have a question.
Yeah,
a question for you. What kind of photographer, or at what stage of a photographer were you when you started listening? Like when you started searching photo podcasts?
I literally emailed Alan and said, I'm with Adam. I can relate to you, right?
But you had a first DSLR like that you just bought, or you had one for a while? Or
5 years ago, I got one for my birthday and, you know, put it in auto and started shooting shots, right? And
is that what what piqued the interest of photography? Like, did you ask for that camera or someone
knew?
I did.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. It's just I just have it in me, right?
Okay. And you have 9 kids, so
exactly.
That's where you want to
capture. Let's capture those moments while we've got them. I just had a point and shoot film camera before that. I did buy a camera used for film SLR film, mm-hmm. but I had sold it off at, you know, I only took 2 or 3 rolls with it in that time.
Okay, so you get now you get your first DSLR, which is what are you shooting with?
Nikon, I still have it, it's a D40. So D40. The very entry level, it won't autofocus with the 50 mil, although I went out and bought one.
Mm-hmm.
So manually focusing with the 50 mil, which has a lot of merit to going through that process for anyone that would like, just put that in manual focus and spend some time doing that. I think there's a lot of benefits to that. And then went from auto to aperture priority and shutter priority, and just kind of went through everything all the time, doing a little bit of internet research, following a few videos online, listening to a few podcasts, and somehow I never hit yours till about 9 months ago.
Okay.
So that was 5 years ago now, and probably, a year and a half ago, I purchased it's still a crop sensor, but a D7000. Grabbed a 70 to 200 Sigma lens, picked up a 35 millimeter Nikon lens. So that's pretty much my kit right there, just 3 lenses. And they cover, you know, I don't have the wide angle, but other than that, everything's kind of covered in my bag, right?
35 on a crop sensor. Yeah, that's
a 50 essentially.
Essentially, that's my favorite setup. That's what I always shoot with whenever possible. So
I'll be honest, my wife would grab the camera and the 50 mil on a crop sensor. She just, you know, it didn't work, right?
It's too tight.
We couldn't work together on that. I did like the results. They were closer to what the challenge was this week, nice and tight shots. But obviously she needed to walk too far back and there's a wall there, so she'd hit the wall. The 35 is really the answer.
Yeah, absolutely. I shoot with a 30 millimeter on my Sigma, or a 30 millimeter Sigma on my 40D all the time. And I just love it. And that's actually what my wife shoots with. I hand her that camera all the time. And to me, that's about, aside from being, you know, a brick, it's a heavy, heavy lens. It's perfect for everyday shooting.
But you're giving her your crop sensor camera, is that right?
She takes that one. Yeah, that's hers. That's the one that has duct tape all over the top with a cheat sheet written on it about what ISO goes for what lighting condition.
That she still can't get right.
She's pretty good about it.
I just put my you guys will kill me, but I just went to back button focus this week.
Okay. after.
My wife is going to lose her mind.
No, no, no. It's my wife picked it up in about 30 seconds. It's yeah. just,
really
just
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Challenge extended.
No, no. I think ultimately, I mean, if you hand it to a stranger and don't tell them, then there might be some struggle there. But once you just say, hey, you push this button to focus and then this button to take the picture, it pretty much sorts itself out after
It takes
that.
A little bit of a little bit getting used to, but you're right. Like my wife loves it. She can't imagine not shooting back button focus now. And yeah. and you're right. She doesn't have the ISOs memorized. She has to look at the top. So it's not like she's, you know, dialed in as a photographer, but to her, the back button focus makes complete sense. My only issue with it is when someone does ask, hey, let me take a picture of you or take a picture and let me try out your camera, which I'm not a fan of anyways. And I try to explain to them, yeah, listen, like you're not going to get it. Like, I don't want to. Yeah. They just think you're being difficult.
Yeah.
Sure.
And you're like, oh, come on. Like, what do you think? I'm stupid. Like, well, yeah, I do. But that's nothing to do with this. Like, this is you're not going to. I don't have the 15 minutes to explain back button focus to you. However, so then it ends up being awkward.
I have another question for Matt.
Great. Shoot. That's why he's here.
So now, I mean, you've listened to essentially all the podcasts you're saying now, and you're up to date. So now as a photographer now, sort of where are you at? We obviously saw your challenge photo and that's very good, but now you have a lighting setup. Are you doing work? Are you doing photography work now?
I am not making money doing this.
Oh, no one's making money doing this.
You're a professional photographer, right?
I actually make money doing this, yes.
I make some side money. I don't feed my family on this.
Right. So, again, relating to Adam, where I put myself, you know, I have a full-time job. You're a doctor, right, Adam?
I'm a physiotherapist.
Right, doctor.
It's like a doctor without the credentials.
Exactly. I mean, it's the same thing. So, yeah, I mean, I've shot a couple weddings. I think I did send some of that information over to Alan, and, mm-hmm. and some of those photos are in my Flickr stream or challenge stream.
And you didn't take money for doing it?
Not for the first couple times. Right? First off, it's for family. Secondly, I wanted to get this under my belt. I didn't want to charge for it. So what I did do, though, was I asked them to pay for the rental of some lenses that I got. So I was able to get a, you know, 24-70, 70-200 Nikon, 2A, you know, all, you know, the good glass. Mm-hmm. And yeah. then I told them as well, the other stipulation is that I want you to buy a nice framed picture that's going to cost you $300 or so, or a book. So they went with a book and a book for the mother of the bride, right? So I went and got $200 books printed, and that was the stipulation. So you're going to pay for the rental lenses, and you're going to pay for some products that I'm going to actually turn your pictures into a product and not just have them sitting on a computer.
Right.
They loved it.
Oh, great. Great. Now you are shooting with flash stuff now, though, right?
Oh, right. So again, so now I could probably just talk to Adam about Young Nuul.
I'll go take five.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So I'm actually using a Young Nuul's flash as well as the triggers. I've got two triggers, one flash, which replaces whatever highest end flash Canon or Nikon that you have. And it's outstanding. So my whole setup, which would probably be $1,000 or more if you went with the name brand, I got for, you know, $250 or so, something like that. And it's awesome. Awesome. I was also able to pick up a 28, an SB28 online for, you know, through Craigslist or whatever, cheap. So,
okay, now the Young Nuul flashes will do the high speed sync ETTL.
Yes.
Perfect. There you go. And what do you know what the number is on the Young Nuul flash that you've got?
It's a 568EX. Young Nuul 568.
And that's the newest Young Nuul flash, like, that's out there, as far as you know?
As far as I know. That'll do the high-speed TTL wireless sync.
There we go. We got a ringing endorsement for that. Buy that when you buy your next 622Cs or whatever, 622Ns.
N
for the Nikon people.
But looking back on the 158, you can look back
sure.
on. What do you think would be the most important tip or lesson? I think more tip than lesson, but that you got. What was the most useful to you?
Yeah, I'm going to my notes because I actually wrote down a couple, but
should have covered this in the pre-interview.
No, but the biggest takeaway is I'm not even going to look at the notes. Is seeing light, right?
Okay.
I can recognize now. I look for light. I look for photo opportunities everywhere I go. It's not that I'm looking for them. I see them now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big change. It's a big transition to do that. I actually find myself looking at people talking and not listening and thinking about when do I snap that shot? When they blink, okay, wait till after they blink. Now, are they going to smile a little bit? Okay, take the shot now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about these things as I talk to people. I'm thinking about photography while I'm just throughout the entire day.
Never admit that to your wife, though, when she's...
Yeah, no.
Did you hear what I just said?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. The answer is always yes.
Yeah, your tell friend Leanne gained some
weight.
No, just
weight. Tell me more. Tell me more. Sounds good.
Yeah.
You know what the worst part is? If you just mentioned one of your friend's names.
Does she have a friend named Leanne?
What does your wife? You
huh? My yeah, that sounds German. Yeah, if I said Brunhilde, you'd be like, okay, that's my wife's friend. Sure.
Okay, good point.
Yeah. Afa. There's Afa and Hilda, I think.
I appreciate what Matt is saying because that is one of the things that I completely agree with. That's probably something that I deal with every day too, in that, you know, whether it's driving home from work or whether it's, you know, on a trip out to the park with my kids, just appreciating light in a different way is one of the biggest changes from going from someone who snaps the occasional photo to someone who considers themselves, an amateur enthusiast or a pro. I think that is that you're always thinking about light and how it would work for you in a situation to create a photo.
I think I agree a lot with Matt too. It's not so much that you're thinking about light, but it just... you can't not think about it.
Right.
Like, boom, it's right there, and you think, oh, boy, that would make a good shot. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that I'm glad to hear you say that it wasn't some, you know, goofy little tip or something, because that's much more important. It's much more important than what camera you're using. Everyone likes to always say that. Like, you know, this.
Well, it's that and counting clicks.
Yeah, I was hoping to hear counting clicks because that's what I use all the time.
back button focus, you know, that was the biggest takeaway, really. Yeah. I just started using it last week.
Right. In terms of the little technical stuff, which our whole idea was, you know, like when people are brand new at photography, the biggest thing is they get intimidated by all the technical stuff involved. You know, what is aperture, all those different things. And our whole goal when we started was to basically get people past that point where that sort of makes sense. You can do that on your own, sort of a rote memory situation, like operate your camera and get to the point where you look for light. What was the least important tip?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't thinking about negative things.
The least important tip that you remember. Yeah, good question. Good question.
I'll give you a hint. I think it was two episodes ago.
Don't ask your wife what other people are saying online.
Oh no, I don't care about that. No,
see,
no.
Now I'm picking on Adam.
Oh no. Robin. It was. I meant two episodes ago. We did the forced perspective.
It was a bad tip. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Adam did not like that. So.
Just the challenge in general. That's not a tip though.
Right. Okay.
Or the tip was don't do this.
The whole show is based on that, but people seem to forget
No, I think that was really actually kind of interesting. And then once you start looking around at forced perspective photos.
I do have to backtrack a little bit on the forced perspective because you know how you've got your TV screensaver that shows all the photos that you've ever taken that you've five-starred or whatever?
Sure.
I caught this morning and I saw one of my favorite photos where I'm jumping off some bench and into the sky and it's a sunset and I've got the camera on a tripod and a timer in my hand and again, it looks like I'm jumping through the sky and I'm thinking, that's actually forced perspective. So and I kind of like it in that scenario. So
whoops.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. So I'm admitting it. I'm saying that there is a use for it when I'm taking a picture of myself. It's awesome.
There is a use for it. And there's also, and more importantly, which I forgot to mention that week, was there's a way to, knowing how it works is a good way to avoid it by accident.
There you go.
So there's that. Matt, what was your favorite challenge? And not your best result. I mean, just the favorite one out of all of them to do.
Ooh, I don't know. There's a story behind every photo, really, that I've taken.
Okay, pick one.
Yeah.
Tell us about six.
I'll tell you why. How about I tell you my favorite one?
Sure.
It's the
how
one.
How about Adam tells us?
Oh, if Adam can pick one out of a lineup, I'll be impressed.
Oh, go ahead.
I have no favorites.
Yes, no. One of your more recent ones I really liked was the your kid's reflection in the your kid not your kid wasn't your kid's reflection. Yep. Your kids were in the window, and there's a reflection on the window.
Sure.
So I really do like that one because that's your daughter in the background, correct?
Right. Okay. So we were just downtown, and I had seen a. Actually, I believe I read a magazine that showed reflections. So I kind of went in thinking I want to take one of these reflection shots. So I, you know, the funny thing about all these challenges is I try, a lot of these take many different days actually to set up. So I'll set something up, I'll take a bunch of shots and they won't work out. And I'll go back and reshoot them and they still won't work out and shoot them again. So I'm really learning how to do this, you know, specifically. And then you learn as well, don't tear down your setup, your lighting setup, what have you. So that you can reshoot these after you once you put them up on the computer and you see that you missed focus or what do you need to do to change it. So one of the ones that I like actually, sorry, I know you're talking about, and that photo I tried to get, I got the reflection and I had to really meter for both the behind the window and the reflection in the window shot. So it was interesting to do.
Because behind the window is
my children. Yeah.
Yeah. But you didn't, the exposure wise, it's technically it's underexposed
for the children.
Yeah. But that's exactly how I would expose it. Like that's artistically, that's how it should look. But you know, on paper, underexposed, but that's exactly how you should do it. So I'm a big fan of that one. 'Cause there's a lot going on, a lot of big story in that one. And, you know, your son up front with the giant, that's kind of forced perspective too, with a giant drink.
Slushy or whatever.
Because he's drinking. Right up there. And then you have the whole reflection going on, the story going there. And you have, you know, your daughter in the background who is still in the photo, but she's not the main subject. We go to your son first, and then we see your daughter in the background adding to it. And she's like, she doesn't take focus away. I like that photo.
Thank you.
Okay, so your favorite one then, you said.
I was going to say, actually, probably the Batman one.
Okay, that was...
He's flying. It's a motion. I don't remember what number it was, but there's motion blur behind
Zoom burst. Zoom burst.
No, it's not a zoom burst specifically. Oh. I did a clock for that. But I did it around the same time. And the reason I like it is because I did do that three times. It was very difficult to achieve what it was a funny. It's the same challenge where you had Jack in the red suit going across. And in Photoshop, you added the blur behind him. Adam?
OK. I think it was just motion blur or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But what I actually did was hang this little toy Batman, and I had to put flashlights all around him and do a long exposure shot and get that blur effect. So there's no Photoshop involved. In fact, I don't even have Photoshop. So all the images that I do are aperture based, but there's no there's nothing other than that. So that's why I like that one, because I did have to go back. I had to try it multiple times to really get what I was. I had to figure out how to accomplish the end challenge goal. Mm-hmm. Right?
And so, but you didn't tear down your set until you were done.
Yeah, absolutely. I tore it all down.
In between.
Yeah, I did it 3 times over 3 days.
Oh, wow. That's a valuable lesson. Yeah, don't tear your set down until you know you got it.
Sure, but I'm doing it in my dining room. My wife doesn't want Batman hanging from the chandelier, which he was. The big thing for me that I'm trying to do is slow down. I think I've emailed Alan about wanting to take some film. He helped me out with getting some film, and I thank you for that. I did pick up a camera. I ran through a roll of film, and then the shutter, to cock the shutter,
mm-hmm.
froze. Stop. Yeah. So I could not advance. Oh, there you go.
Bitte? Come. Dad kannst du mir. Was kann ich machen?
Grins Anton der Mann.
Oh, Anton schläft.
This is
time. She's asking for a beer, right?
Yeah, she's not. I think Anton's sleeping, sweetie. Can we go see Anton later? We're doing a show now. Say hi to the hosers.
No.
Okay, everybody. That's my daughter, by the way, and in her German. So last chance to say hello. Uh-uh. Nope, nothing for you guys. All right. There you go.
Goodbye.
No, Matt, I wanted to say, hey, you know, thanks for taking taking the time to post them. I think what's important, especially since we don't have time to comment on all or many of them. That's the thing. Is
you know what? Your father does.
My dad does. He's retired. So, the thing is, this is an important thing to know. And this is kind of what happened to us when we started our show was you have to not be. I wouldn't say afraid, but be prepared to shout into the void and not hear any echo back for quite some time. If you want to get good at anything, not just photography, but at anything, you have to have the confidence to just go out and do it. And like you said, you set that goal and you did it. Obviously, we wish that we could comment on every photo. It's just not possible. But you kept going anyways. And so I just want to say thanks for doing that and submitting all those photos.
You're welcome. Thanks for giving me the challenges to accomplish and make myself better. I haven't actually met a lot of people, but I have met your father through this, and he takes some awesome shots. And, I agree. You can't expect to get feedback, directly through just posting anything anywhere. You need to really push. You need to start a conversation, and that's part of it. But really going through these challenges, I mean, I can't stress enough how much people can get from doing all these challenges. It costs you nothing. Go through it. You will really become a better photographer if you're in that position where you're starting out. You're at episode, 150. Where did he get better? 38?
Yeah. That's where I got awesome. 138 is where I really turned the corner.
Yeah, 37 right. was just a
went from bad to awesome.
Yeah.
No, I mean it's incredible. I mean, you really do these challenges and you improve and you can see it for yourself. You don't need feedback from others. You can actually see that improvement.
Great. And more importantly, your wife and kids see that because you get a lot more photos of them.
They don't see me though.
Yeah, because you're the one taking the photos.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm in very few photos compared, but once again, thanks for coming on the show as well. So, and where can people find before I meant to say this at the top of the show? You have your own website.
Yeah, everyone can check out marionmade.com.
Okay, and we're gonna
and that's marionmade.com.
And we'll throw a link on the site, of course. So, Adam.
Yes.
Photo challenge for next week.
I thought we were taking a week off.
No. Now, here's the thing is I have a photo challenge in mind, just in case. But why don't we throw it to Matt and see if he... Matt, can you come up with one?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Many. But I'm going to make it really broad and easy. I'm going to go with abstract.
Abstract. Okay. So, do you mean like Picasso with the nose on the side of the face?
Not quite, but close.
Something like that. Okay.
Close up, macro. I don't know. Just abstract.
Amazon.
You don't really know what it is.
Okay.
Amazon. Yeah. That's you can buy abstract on Amazon.
You buy abstract on Amazon. If you buy things on Amazon, click through our site. I just added links on our site, by the way, Adam.
Great.
Because people have been asking for direct links because of the Windows or whatever was going on before, that some pop-up blockers blocked them, and people couldn't access. So there's direct links now that you should be able to access without the pop-up blocker.
Good problem solving.
Yeah, you'll sleep well tonight, my friend.
Yes, I will.
So check that out. And Adam, where can people find your photos?
Facebook, Two Hosers, and SchwartzChronicles.com.
Great.
And how about your stuff?
You can find mine at AlanAttridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know. All the links are on there. So that's it.
Great.
Adam, Matt, get out there and make better photos.